Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rethink Energy podcast. This is a special episode, a Rethink Energy Talks podcast where myself, Bogdan Abramyte, the editor of Rethink Energy, is joined by Marco Terruzin, the chief product officer of Energy Vault. Hi, Marco.
Hi, Bogdan. Good to see you again. How are you?
Thank you, Marco. Very well. On today's show, we will discuss about Energy Vault, who is a US-based energy storage company. Now, what's unique to Energy Vault is their product offering. They offer a variety of energy storage solutions on top of their proprietary Vault OS, which Marco will be happy to tell us more about. Marco, let's start there. Can you give us a brief overview of the products that Energy Vault is offering, or sort of a few comments on Vault OS and what sets you aside?
Sure thing, and thank you so much for the invite. It's a pleasure being here and describing how Energy Vault is contributing to the energy transition, providing a unique value proposition, because the mission of the company has been able to deliver something unique for customers, for utility, independent power producer, and large energy users. Energy Vault uses an open stack approach based on the integration, the X-Vault integration platform, to integrate solution for both short and long duration. In the last year, we have delivered a 1 gigawatt hour project for a short duration using our proprietary design, the B-Vault, a system that has the inverter included into the container closure. And at the same time, we have delivered a project for a long duration in China using our proprietary gravity solution. Currently, we have a 3.2 gigawatt hour project undergoing in China, and we are about to deliver the first green hydrogen microgrid in the US. This is a project with our very open-minded partner, PG&E, that was trying to solve the problem of public safety power shut off in the northern part of California with a solution that is carbon-free and economically attractive. And we design a system we call the H-Vault, the hydrogen vault, that helps utilities and large energy users to adapt a solution, a combination of a lithium ion provide a grid forming and a black start capabilities, with the majority of the energy component coming from green hydrogen. So it's a combination of technologies that fit the purpose. Lithium ion respond quickly, and a green hydrogen through fuel cells gives the possibility to keep the light on for up to 48 hours. Let's say that this is the hardware stack component of the platform. On top of that, because a customer in the end of the day, they buy performances, there is the digital solution using Vault OS, the operating system that helps customer to dispatch the asset. The second part of the digital proposition is an optimizer that we call Vault Manager to help the customer to minimize the maintenance cost for a predefined availability target. Suppose the customer wants to operate at a 97 or 98% availability. And with that objective, they want to minimize the predictive maintenance cost. And the third part of the digital stack is probably the most sophisticated and is the Vault Bidder, a set of automatic algorithms that helps customers in the regulated market to dispatch the asset automatically. That is, in essence, what we have built at Energy Vault, creating this kind of unique value proposition.
So the company started, you mentioned a couple of products. You mentioned gravity, you mentioned battery, you mentioned hydrogen. The company started with their proprietary gravity system. What made you take the step towards battery and hydrogen?
Thank you for the question, because this is the fun part of being part of a company that is participating in an industry that is evolving. So in 2018, the company was, end of 2017, beginning of 2018, the company was founded. And the primary objective of that the company at that time was to identify a specific problem 24/7 dispatchable PV. That was the original target, and elaborating a solution to solve that problem. That was, let's say, the North Star, where we have to go, where we have to aim towards. At the same time, we gradually discover that the market is evolving towards the so-called long-duration energy storage need gradually. The majority of the customer currently, they are purchasing energy storage solution for 2 or 4 hours. It's quite unusual to come across customer that they want to buy something that is more than 4 hours. It is happening, and is happening more frequently in the last, it has been happening more frequently in the last 12 months. For example, the project with the Pacific Gas and Electric is an example. However, the vast majority of the need in the market is driven by demand for 2 to 4 hours. Now, to be economically competitive and to provide solutions that are in the market, it was appropriate to open up our value proposition to make sure that the good engineering skills that we have been able to build in-house, they could be deployed and find customer, because being relevant and being at scale in this industry is essential. Having a value proposition that just focuses on solution that will materialize 5-6 years from now really doesn't help the industry to migrate and accelerate towards carbon neutrality.
So let's touch on a bit further on the battery system, because the gravity system is proprietary. So that was, so to say, an in-house design. But when it comes to the battery proposition that you're offering, you're sourcing those batteries from a third party. Now, what does a company like Energy Vault look for in a battery proposition from a third party when it comes to meeting what the market needs?
Okay, so when we come to the demand for solution in the range of 2 hours, 4 hours, or even 6 hours, the energy storage medium, it is a commodity. This is accurate. So the battery modules, they reached a level of, let's say, quality on one side and price on the other side that we can consider a commodity in a certain way. Where the difference, where there is a need for a match with the requirement of the market, it is on how these modules will be integrated in a product that matches the project need. So thinking that the battery itself, the cells or the modules, are what a customer needs, it's a misunderstanding. Customer doesn't need a modules. A customer needs a performance. And this is where we have elaborated our value proposition in the short duration market. For example, we observed that the battery prices are going down. I can tell you that just 2 years ago, the price of modules was 2 times the price of modules today. Today, we can buy the same quantity, the same energy storage capacity, for the same 2 times that capacity for the same price as it would have cost 1 year ago for just 1 unit instead of 2 of energy capacity. What is not going down is the balance of plant cost, and eventually the insurance and financial costs associated with the performance of that system. So it is paramount to provide solutions that are reducing the overall cost of the system. Now, installing a battery energy storage system is a labor-intensive work. And if you have a system that requires an external inverter, for sure there is an additional cost for the installation, an additional cost of material because of DC cabling between the DC block and the central inverter. We have designed a system that is one of the few in the industry where the power electronics, the inverters, are within the cabinet. We use modular inverters that are connected on a bus bar, both on the DC side and the AC side, with the energy block. What does it mean? Within the container, we have a modular inverter of indicatively 250 kW. In case one of these inverters fails, power electronics is prone to failure from time to time, we are not going to lose any kWh of the energy block of the inverter. This is one element of proprietary design. Another element that has been instrumental to win business in parts of the world where temperatures are pretty high is driven by a requirement of utilities and customers that they want to operate a battery system in an environment with a temperature between 45 up to 60 degrees Celsius. Now, if you design a system, a DC block, to operate in standard environmental condition, and you rely just on the HVAC, forcing the HVAC to work more, pump more cool into the container, at one point you are reaching a limit that exposes the system to failure. We took a different approach using thermofluid dynamics to make sure that the system is designed since the beginning to accommodate variation in the design and operate up to 60 degrees. Region of the world, Australia, Middle East, and also part of the United States, will require higher temperature of operation, and we do not want to respond to customers saying that they have to spend more money with auxiliary system and electricity to pump more HVAC. Those are just two examples of how using the battery modules as a commodity, we have been able to create a custom-made product that is differentiating in the industry and providing value to the end users.
So you touched on performance. Now, from a technological point of view, you're using lithium ion in your battery projects. Is that correct?
Correct.
From your point of view, Marco, do you see lithium ion being potentially dethroned by any other technology in the energy storage space anytime soon or ever?
I personally believe that there are evidence that because of the amount of capital invested in the manufacturing of lithium ion, and because of the economy of scale and the cost reduction curves that are happening, lithium ion has proven itself to be a good technology to solve the problem of energy storage. So every other technology that wants to compete with a lithium ion has to prove itself to do a better job for a specific purpose. Now, there are situations where other technology, they may fit better. For example, when the use case is for seasonal storage, lithium ion technically may not be the ideal solution. Are there, however, solutions that are better from a least cost, best fit perspective, so economically less expensive than lithium ion from the performance perspective, round trip efficiency and operation and maintenance, better than lithium ion? It's a question mark. However, I can share with you that if we look at the driver that the requirement to pick a technologies like developing local content, helping local economies, operating in a harsh environment, no self-discharge. So I'm making a list of a specific requirement.
Yeah.
You can reach the conclusion that other technology, they may fit better than lithium ion. And this has been our experience with gravity, for example. In a part of the world where they look at energy storage as an infrastructure asset, gravity has resulted in interesting solution. This is the reason why the National Development Reform Commission in China has identified gravity as a strategic asset for the transition. Not to replace lithium ion, but to complement lithium ion, and also to help to spur additional economic development with the jobs and IP that has been transferred to China in this case. We have developed internally an Energy Vault department called Advanced Energy Storage, led by Craig Horner. He's a veteran in the industry, and we pay a lot of attention to invest money and resources in the identification of alternative technologies, but not for the, just for the sake to think or look for something that is alternative, with a clear objective to find a match with the specific needs in the market.
Now, to sort of wrap this episode up in the last couple of minutes, I wanted to touch on hydrogen and the potential it has. Now, Energy Vault has a project in California that's relying on hydrogen storage. Can you walk us through that project for a second?
Thank you. This is an interesting story. So we became aware of the background of the project is associated with a RFP issued by Pacific Gas and Electric. All of this is public information. Pacific Gas and Electric previously had issued two RFPs to solve the problem of blackouts in the northern part of California. In particular, there is a city called Calistoga that has been affected dozens of times by blackouts because during the fire season between June to November, dry condition and a high wind situation may create a very risky circumstance that may trigger wildfire. So PG&E, after being exposed to this wildfire, made a decision to de-energize transmission line to avoid that risk. That comes with the consequence that cities and towns, they can stay without power for days. So that was unbearable for PG&E, and they had to find a solution. The first solution was to use a diesel genset localized one time per year to the city and running the diesel genset when there was a blackout. But that was not welcomed by the local population because of the noise, because of the smell, and also the idea to rely on a carbon-intensive solution. So the third time when a PG&E issued this RFP, under pressure by the California Energy Commission, they were looking for something that was carbon-free and with a clear target to be less than two times the cost, less expensive than the current cost, two times the current cost of a diesel generator. And at that point, we took advantage of our approach, what I described at the beginning as an open stack, the X-Vault, and we started to elaborate on the technology that we know well. And one was lithium ion, because if you have to power a microgrid disconnected from the distribution and transmission grid, you have to be able to provide a solution that has the capabilities to form the grid and a black start. So that was the first part of the solution. The second part of the solution was to answer the question, how can we provide an additional 47 hours of a carbon-free energy? If we rely on a lithium ion, that would have been too expensive. Possible, but too expensive. And so we elaborated on the use of hydrogen coming from electrolytic production of hydrogen, so in compliance with the RPS standard in California, and so classified as a green hydrogen. We do not produce the green hydrogen. We buy the green hydrogen. We store the green hydrogen in a form of liquid in a stationary tank in the city of Calistoga. And when there is a need, when there is an event, after forming the grid with the batteries, the hydrogen is used fueling the fuel cell, zero generation of carbon, noise is contained, and at a cost that is affordable for California. And this has generated a business line for us that we call the H-Vault, that currently is helping not only municipalities or utilities, but also large energy users to think how to replace diesel genset with solutions that are carbon-free and economically attractive.
So last question, Mark, on your last point about economically attractive propositions. I'll picture me this. You have an offshore wind farm linked to the grid, but then also linked to a decentralized hydrogen production plant, so an electrolyzer. And obviously, a big talking point in the hydrogen industry and the electrolyzer market is how will electrolyzers deal with intermittency issues in the supply of electricity from a wind farm or a solar farm or a renewable intermittent renewable energy source. And obviously, one of the big one of the obvious solutions to this problem is attaching an energy storage project, let's say a battery, to the system, so then they can essentially modulate and mitigate in between the wind farm and the electrolyzer. Now, can you walk us from an economic point of view? What would be the main talking points or the main discussion points that such a project developer needs to sort of think about and undergo in order to make this project viable?
Yeah, the first part of the of what you have described, a renewable energy generation asset, wind offshore, feeding the electric grid. In a certain way, it's a problem that has been already solved. It can be optimized with some storage to make sure that there is a better profile in feeding the grid. Okay. It's a little bit more complicated, the optimization of the production of green hydrogen. And this is where the combination of the amount of storage hardware and the software can drive better economics for the levelized cost of hydrogen production. So the first decision is to define what kind of technologies, electrolyzer technology, the user want to use. There are technologies that are a little bit less sensitive to intermittency. I'm talking about electrolyzers and other technology that are more sensitive. So this is first part of the equation. And it's a trade-off between a CapEx and OpEx. The second, so based on, this is the first component. The second component is how much storage must be added to optimize the performance of the electrolyzers, right? And the lower is the cost of storage, the better it is. And this is the reason why these cost reduction in battery modules, it's a huge benefit for the entire industry. So the economy of scale, they are working. This is great news for the industry. Apart from the competition that is creating a compression in margin, but overall, the levelized cost of energy for end users and the levelized cost of hydrogen for a future user of that molecule is going to benefit of this cost advantage. Now, how to accelerate that cost reduction using also software? And this is where we believe that it is essential to not only look at the hardware part of the equation that is driving the majority of the CapEx, but also at the software part of the equation, optimizing the predictive maintenance of a multiple asset, not only the storage, but the electrolyzers, and eventually also the generation asset, in this case, your example, the offshore wind farm. And our answer to that problem is the digital stack that has broken down the operating system, the digital operating system, to make sure that the assets are properly dispatched from the optimizer of maintenance. And that is not an easy problem to solve, because when you increase the number of equipment, the complexity of the system goes up. This is the reason why it's essential to have a predictive analytics, in a certain way, some form of AI that helps to understand when the predictive maintenance has to be performed. And ultimately, the bidder that will instruct the entire system, will orchestrate the system to operate to maximize the revenues in this case, would be the maximization of revenues coming from hydrogen. So it's a complex system and probably what you are describing, but currently the industry has the tool to initiate and accelerate the cost reduction through software and hardware.
Yes, I agree with you, Marco. Energy storage dropping down in cost will benefit the entire industry. And it seems like Energy Vault has the tools to help in the exact scenario that I came up with using the Vault OS. Now, Marco, thank you for the insight. We found it very, very interesting. I hope, well, I'm sure our listeners do it too. Thank you for joining us today on this podcast. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. You can find more about Energy Vault if you go online or if you look up Marco Terruzzin on LinkedIn or Google. I'm sure he will be pleased to reply to you and get in touch. And you can find more about Rethink Energy at rethinkenergy.biz. That's .biz. If you go, click on Energy and Weekly Analysis. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.